Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello, and Merry Christmas if you are a celebrator of Christmas, because this podcast drops on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, hey, I'm Jewish. I celebrate Christmas because I choose to. But if you don't celebrate Christmas, here's what I'm going to say to you. Happy and merry magic, because if you choose, Christmas can just mean magic, can mean believing in something, even when all logic tells you not to, and finding some joy in that. One thing my mother-in-law said to me when I was a young mother, starting to create this magic for my own children, I think I was worried about lying to them. And she at the time was probably in her early 70s. And she said to me, "Sometimes I still hear the hooves on my roof on Christmas Eve." And it just, it even brings emotion to me now. It makes me tear up, because just the concept of what it means to believe in magic, what it means, the break it gives us from our own freaking heads to just believe in something magical for a moment. And, you know, considering the work that I do and what we're all doing here, there's an element of belief and faith that feels like you're believing in magic when you realize that an emotional and a psychological and an excavation of the soul, when those exercises produce physical changes in your body, full transformations, people who go from being in tremendous pain to totally free, that feels like magic. And it's not, it's science, but you know, there's a magical aspect to it. And I love magic. I love the unknowable, the mystical, the mysterious, the possibilities, and magic exists in between all of those words, within them, in the space they hold. I love it. So, merry everything for you. Happy everything for you. And if you are a Christmas celebrator, Merry Christmas, because tomorrow is Christmas. All right, here we are together, my loves. By the way, I don't even think I've introduced myself. Hey, this is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. So happy to be here with you today. Smack in the middle of the holiday season. I'm a little excited for tomorrow morning. I am a little excited. And you know what? You never know where it's going to go. So here's what I'm going to suggest, to give you some unsolicited advice to those parents out there. Be excited if you're excited, and don't get attached to outcomes. Because sometimes I know kids, and like, you're so excited to give them something and they're like, "I don't want this." And you're like, "Oh, the ungrateful brat." I get it. But you be in your joy. This day is about you too. So just a little advice from me. I would love to hang out with you personally. If you want to hang out with me, if you want to spend actual time with me, asking me your questions and being in the space of your recovery with you and other like-minded people, come to one of my retreats, two live ones, one virtual one. All of the information is on the retreats tab of my website. Please come hang out with me. It's really, really such an incredible experience, and I can't wait. I'm already really, really looking forward. I feel like even though April isn't, it feels still like it's far, you turn around and it's April. You know, we're already at the end of December. So that will be the first one, the first time we're going to be physically together, and that's in North Carolina in April. So anyway, check out all of those opportunities on the retreats tab of my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and all of my information on the resources tab. If you are struggling, if you are confused, if you need support, if you need some love, go there, because there's a lot there for you. Also, today's topic is ripped from the headlines, otherwise known as ripped from my Instagram feed. And so if you are looking for daily inspiration, please go to my Instagram at Nicole Sachs, NicoleSachs, LCSW on Instagram. So that's where I'm being inspired to speak from today. So the reason that I am sharing on this topic today is because I thought it was very appropriate and timely for the holiday season. For those of us who are capable of enjoying the holidays, and I know that many of us aren't, and I know that in every phase of life, you're going to experience momentous occasions like this differently. For those of us who are able to experience the holidays with joy, there can be a blockage to that that is not always expected. An inability, a sort of an inexplicable, confusing inability to stay present in the moment, even if the moment is otherwise joyful for you. So I'm going to start the podcast off by reading to you the post that I posted last week on Instagram that got a really huge response and reminded me how important it is to talk about this stuff and kind of flesh it out a little bit more. So the post says, "Always wanting something to be over instead of being able to be present is a trauma response." And my favorite kind of trauma responses that I write about are ones that are so personal to me because I've lived them over and over and over again for years, and for a long time did not know why I was the way I was. And it was really confusing to me, and it was really, there's a lot of shame attached when we're doing something that doesn't feel optimal for us, it feels like we're screwing it up and you don't know why. And, you know, so I'm gonna read you the caption on this post so we can all understand where we are, and then I'm going to expand on it in my life, and then we're going to talk about your life. But you know, my life and your life are the same because we're just humans doing our fucking best. Okay, here is the caption. "When we have experienced trauma, our nervous systems can be on such high alert that it is difficult to relax and enjoy even fun times. This one is so personal to me. I spent so many years wanting things to be over. Family parties, Broadway shows, days at the beach. It was so strange because I love those things. Then I began studying trauma and what it does to the brain and the nervous system, and a light bulb went off. When you've spent so many years feeling unsafe, even unconsciously, it becomes second nature to watch the clock, waiting for something to be over so that you can be alone, out of the potential, quote unquote, harm that comes from being in the presence of other people. Knowledge is perspective, and perspective leads to the gift of awareness. When we realize why we are doing something, when we are able to have perspective and know that our reactions are a result of what has happened to us, then we have the opportunity to become free. This happens little by slowly, but it happens. It begins with intention, being present and mindful and knowing that this discomfort will pass. Then it moves to acceptance, being able to see that although something is, quote, uncomfortable, feelings are not facts, and they will shift as we acknowledge our current safety. And then it moves to true presence. Once in a while, I get this, and it is a sweet spot of life. I am a work in progress. So are you. Let's keep our eyes open. Let's always be willing to be curious about the reasons behind our reflexive reactions to life. It's all happening right now, and look, we are here for it as best as we can be. I love you. Left foot, right foot, breathe." Okay, so there's the post. There is the post. And when I first conceived of it, it really came from a really, really personal place, because every single word that I just read to you is true for me. I have just watch the clock for many, many otherwise happy experiences in life. Like one of the things I've done my whole life, and I love shows, I love Broadway, I love musicals and singing, I love plays, I love performances, I love concerts. I would look at the playbill and count the songs until intermission, and then sort of be relieved that the second act is usually shorter than the first. I mean, like, what the hell? And it used to really irritate me. And that's where I say shame comes in, because it used to make me feel bad about myself. Like, what's wrong with you? You have paid sometimes a lot of money to be there. You have waited with anticipation of wanting to experience this. You are excited for this, and all you can do is wait for it to be over. And that happened a lot in stuff like that made no sense, things like shows, but it also happened in stuff that made a little bit more sense, like family parties, where there are so many personalities. And especially as a mom, so I mean, I've been a mom for a long time. My oldest is 19. And so for almost 20 years, I have been worrying about the needs of other people before my own. And then if we really are honestly taking a look at my history, I've been doing that for 50 years almost. Well, I'm not 50 yet, 49 and a half years with my freaking parents and my dad. And so it's like, this is a situation that deserves our attention, our care, and our respect. Because when you are a little person, and you are unsafe, and it's so easy for a little person to be unsafe because we're so powerless. We're so at the whim of not only our parents who are making the, or our caregivers who are making the ultimate decisions about our life, but our perceptions of the world. You know, sometimes a child's perception of safety is incredibly skewed, but it's still the child's perception of safety. You know, recently, I talked on this podcast a few episodes ago about my childhood fear of throwing up. And that came from an experience where no one did me wrong. It was just an experience of something that happened to me. And it led to me drawing a lot of conclusions about what was safe and not safe about this world and about my body. And so kids are just, you know, rife with opportunities to feel unsafe. So, but, you know, if you're in an experiencing trauma, capital T or little t trauma, then you are absolutely encoding a lot of meaning to your experiences. And so if you've spent a lifetime doing that, what we do is in tiny ways, sort of in many invisible ways, we pivot and pivot and pivot and pivot to keep ourselves safe, whether that's zoning out, grabbing an extra cookie, walking into the other room to play video games, secretly hating people in your head, or maybe it's unconscious, which means we just feel super anxious and we don't know why, depressed and don't know why. We have headaches, we have stomach aches, we have back pain, we have different issues that happen in our bodies. Okay, so like all these things are ways to pivot in small, slight ways to be safe. And let me just take a minute and discuss the physical stuff, because obviously that's why we're here. You know, how does a stomach ache make you safe? Well, you know, if you look back on childhood, it's kind of obvious. You're in a situation, dad is drinking, mom and dad are fighting, your cousins are there, it's awkward, you're embarrassed. Maybe your cousins aren't nice to you, or maybe they are nice to you and you have secret wishes that you lived in their house and not yours. I'm just making this up as I go along, but you know, it's touching on stuff that's happened to many of us. And you get a stomach ache. So what happens when you get that stomach ache? Well, first of all, there's a pause in your experience where you get to think about something other than those things I just said. Second of all, maybe there's a family member who's going to be kind to you, give you some positive attention, or maybe even at the very least, you have an excuse to walk out of that situation and lay in your room and watch TV. I mean, there's so many different ways that this can manifest, but it just is so obvious when you look at it that way, why our physical manifestations are a mode and a posture of safety for the brain and the nervous system. So you know, we live life like that. We have lifetimes of being in these situations. And, you know, unsafety for a child can just become the air which we breathe, the water in which we swim. You know, it's like my favorite David Foster Wallace speech when he talks about this is water. And the whole point of the speech is that two young fish are swimming along and a larger fish swims past them. And he says, "Morning, boys, how's the water?" And the fish swim along for a little bit. And one fish looks at the other and he goes, "What's water?" And the joke of it is that sometimes the things that are so obvious and hidden in plain sight are the things that we miss. And, you know, if you are being raised with this, just this general atmosphere of unsafety, which I certainly was raised in that general atmosphere of unsafety and felt it consciously a lot, but probably unconsciously 100% of the time, you tend to also unconsciously, sometimes consciously, learn to protect yourself. So how do we protect ourselves? Well, one of the things that I have learned in my study of trauma and in my years of private practice, witnessing other people's pain and breaking point and transformation and freedom and all the things that I've had the incredible privilege to witness. One of the things I've learned is one of the side effects of this kind of an upbringing, which it really, really encompasses most of us if we're really going to get honest and look at the things that made us feel on edge or unsafe, is this compulsion for things to be done. Because no matter what it is, good or bad, it's so complicated. And especially as kids, you aren't able to parse apart, oh, well, this makes me feel happy and excited, meaning it's a holiday and it's a party and I'm going to get a present and it's fun and exciting and we're having people over. And this makes me feel unsafe, A, B, C, and D that we just discussed. And it's all happening at the same time. And it's all in the same bite. You don't get to have the happy without the conflict. And so it just makes situations so confusing. And so it's like you get older and what is the obvious reaction to that? Just wanting to be done, wanting that whatever it is to be done so you could be alone, so you could be out of danger. And let's talk about danger for a second. A lot of times danger is simply what might happen. So this is not that people are always out to get you. Like I know with my dad, there were nights where my dad was in like a really good mood and he was cooking dinner in the kitchen. He loved to cook. He cooked most of my teenage years, like every night. And I knew he was drinking back then. He was drinking every night. So it never occurred to me. But I think unconsciously, like I registered the drinking, I registered his good mood, sometimes his really good mood. And on its face, that could have been a pleasant evening. But because experience had taught me that that could go sour and that any minute he could turn to me and say, "So, what did you have for homework tonight? Why don't you bring it in and let's go over it?" While he was freaking drunk and it having his own experience of life, which had a lot to do with telling me how to live mine, you know, when all I wanted to do was just get out from under that dark cloud of what it felt like to be around him and just be free, you know, that was very real for me. And I would live in anticipatory anxiety of what might happen. But there could be many nights, and I'm sure there were, that didn't happen. And this is what I want to just help you understand because, you know, the greatest gift I can give to you is to help you know why you do the things that you do. Because if you find yourself doing something like wishing that good things or bad things or complicated things or any things are over and counting the minutes till something's over and dreading even happy things, you can feel a lot of shame and you could also feel like something's wrong with you and, you know, you could feel depressed about it or you could feel like you're never going to be okay or you're not normal. And none of that is true. You just need to understand why you do what you do. And so when I think back on those times in my life and I know that it's very legitimate that I lived in that anticipatory anxiety, that fear, that pre-grieving, that space that we all inhabit when we might get hurt. And when we've been hurt in the past, that is very real. And if I was living there, then of course could things should be over because bad things could always happen. And you know, now that I'm grown and I have witnessed many bad things that have happened when I'm at the helm, you know, it's like just because I'm no longer a helpless child doesn't mean that I am in control of my life because I'm doing my best. I can control my reactions to things and I can control the way I show up and I can control myself. But that's pretty much it. So bad things have happened. They've happened to my children. They've happened to people that I love. They've happened to my dog. They've happened to me. And yeah, like there's nothing to do about that. And so because of that, as an adult, my healing has really resided in the fact that I have learned why I am the way I am. I have become aware. Awareness is the first step to healing. So I've become aware of it. Okay, here is why I'm this way. I'm going to sit in as much awareness as I can about that. And then right after that, I'm writing you a big fat prescription of self-compassion. Of course, it makes sense that I'm like this. Of course, my sweet love, of course you're like this. It's totally fine. Nothing's wrong with you. You're not an asshole because you want the Broadway show to be over. You don't really want the Broadway show to be over, but there's an aspect of you, which is why inner child work is so key here. There's an aspect of you that lives within you that screams and cries and rejoices and dances and emotes within you that is the inner child that is seeking to be heard. And if without awareness, she just melds so seamlessly into your adult self that you think you are a certain way and that the inner child's really running the show. So that's just a side plug for inner child work. I have a whole retreat recording on my website so you can learn the way I teach it if you are interested on the retreats recording tab. But anyway, so you know, there's that work. And then there's awareness, there's self-compassion, which is all involved in the inner child work. And then there is the slow but steady walk to presence. And through, so if you're walking to the valley of presence, you're going to have to walk through, I mean, I could call it the dark woods of acceptance. So let's call it the dark woods that open up into a brilliant sunlit path of acceptance. Okay, so it starts as dark woods because, dude, acceptance sucks at the beginning. And also people are so confused about acceptance and they think acceptance means agreement, which it does not. Acceptance does not mean that it's okay with you that things were the way they were, or it's okay with you that things are the way they are for you right now. That is not what acceptance means. Acceptance means that you stop fighting everyone and everything, that you stop fighting with reality. Because as Byron Katie says, when you fight with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. So it's about practicing acceptance and saying, hey, Nicole, that was tough with your dad. And it was tough sometimes with your mom. And it was tough with your body. And it was tough with those teenage years. And it was tough with your self-esteem. And it was tough with your definition of what it meant to be good. It was tough for you. And that's the way it was, isn't it? That's what happened. Yep. That's what happened. That's all acceptance is. Acceptance can be embodied in the sentence, yep, comma, that's what happened. Okay. Can you feel the change in energy? Can you just feel like, oh, okay, that's what happened. That's acceptance, okay? So that's when we go from the dark, scary woods into the sunlit path, because what we do is we realize you don't lose anything by practicing acceptance. You just gain peace and then you can move forward. And then comes the daily work, the left foot, right foot breathe of knowing thyself, doing the inner child work, doing a daily journal speak practice, attempting to meditate, because I promise you, you can. And if you think you can't meditate, scroll back in this podcast. I have a whole podcast on meditation and just saying, you know, even you, if I can meditate, you can meditate. And so, you know, and doing this work and knowing that this work does transform you and it doesn't feel good every day. On almost every day, nothing happens. But things are happening. It just on almost every day, nothing is evident. And then on certain days, it's so evident. And on many days, when you look in the rearview mirror, those little micro changes, those tiny, beautiful mini transformations are happening all the time. So this is why you may ache for things to be over. This is why you may find yourself dissociating during times where there's a complicated relationship in the room, or you have a complicated relationship with that event. This is the reason that you sometimes lay in bed at night and think of your own children and say, "My God, I'm not even really there." This is the reason why you look at life in general and you just think it should be more fun than this, right? Shouldn't I be lighter than this? Shouldn't I be like enjoying this? And those are such legitimate questions, and it's okay if you're asking them, and you are not abnormal or wrong or bad or deviant or whatever negative word you have attached to the fact that you're not showing up in the way that you wish you could. You're just a work in progress, just like me. Just like me. And I love that I'm a work in progress, because as soon as I stopped waiting for things to be over so I could check the box and be better and done, I started to understand that I can start to accept. So this is like still very new for me, but I can start to accept that nothing is permanent. So it's sort of like the Buddhist concept of impermanence, which is key to peace. Nothing is permanent. Nothing is able to be controlled by however much planning I could do, or anticipating, or pre-grieving, or catastrophizing. Nothing is helped by that. Nothing turns out better because I'm fearful about it. Nope, sorry. And it's okay. And life will continue to ebb and flow till the day that I die. And when I start accepting that, when I start inviting in my inner child, understanding why I'm like this, then I'm really open to what presence really is. See, we all think we want presence so badly. And here's the thing. Here is the thing, my friend. You think you want it so badly, but what you need to understand is that presence means presence for all of it. Presence for that painful feeling in your gut when you know things aren't going well for your children or for your mother or for your dog or for your best friend or for your sister or for yourself. That's presence means that too. And I think that sometimes we think so badly, oh, I just want to be present in the moment. Well, yeah, we want to be present for the good things in the moment. But realizing, as I said earlier, it's all in the same bite, and being able to embrace that and being able to say, okay, it's all in the same bite. And that leads to an observational self. I mean, if this is all new stuff to you, I talk about this stuff in different ways through different lenses in every episode of this podcast. But this leads to an observational self and an ability to make some space between the stimulus, which is the thing that is causing you to have an emotion, and your response, which is, in that space is where you have peace. In that space is where you have choices. And what do choices mean? Come on, you guys, all together now. Choices mean we are free. Choices mean we are free. So I am sending you big love. I am sending you the opportunity to make a tiny bit of space for magic. One of the things that I once heard that I was thinking about on one of my walks the other day is the reason that we have music is not because of the notes that are held. It is because of the spaces in between the notes. The reason we have music is because there are spaces, some big, some small, some just a split second, and some anticipatory and long. And those spaces in between the notes make music, make the amazing, delightful experience of listening to music, because the notes are great and the notes are part of it. But without the spaces, the notes would just be a big headache. blaring in our ears endlessly. The space between the notes makes the music. And so I want you to understand that what we're talking about here is creating space, creating a pause, creating an opportunity to reflect between the stimulus and your response. And that is freedom. That is freedom. And that's presence. And that's when those tears spring behind your eyes and you say, my God, I'm really here. And then you can feel proud of yourself because look what you did. Look what you did. Even though this, this, and this happened to you, and even though it's been hard, and even though you're 60, 70, 80 years old, people write to me all the time and say, I'm 75 and you're telling me this now. I'm finally understanding myself. So what? You've got today, man. Amazing. You're 75 and you understand this. That's awesome. I'm going to be 50 and I'm just learning a lot of things about myself. And so what? It's a carnival, man. It's a miracle and it's awesome. So on this Christmas Eve, I send you so much light and I hope that this time spent together has been reflective and maybe gives you a little bit of spaces. Make a little music in your heart. All right, my friends. Well, if you're enjoying this podcast, it would be a great Christmas gift to me if you could go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps other people find the podcast. And every time I read your reviews, they make my heart so big. So I really do enjoy that. And until next week, this has been the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.